Very embarrassing. Very, very embarrassing. Went to a place, big sign, children's petting zoo. And I misunderstood it. Apparently you're not supposed to pet the children.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
They really need to be more specific with their signs.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Now, you try to guess why I didn't professionally become a singer. Oh, yeah, baby. Look what I have for you. An adorable little puppy. Aww. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the program. My name is Ron Van Dam. That's what they call me. Don't hold that against me. How many times in your life have you known somebody with a particular first name, like Ron or Bob or Fred or something like that? Names are very incriminating. Here's why. I think all of us had a childhood. Well, it's a question of remembering it, but I think all of us had a childhood, whether you want to remember it or not. And you remember that you were dating. And everybody's had experiences with other people. And if you've had a bad experience with anybody named a certain name, it mars you for the rest of your life. I think Mars is a verb. It's a planet, and it's a verb. How many planets and verbs are the same? You can't say, I've been sattering something, or watch out, or I may Neptune you. Uranus, that's possible. Not a verb, but two nouns. Yeah, it mars you. It does. What if you're a girl and you dated a guy named Bob, and the Bob was a real asshole? He just was a total asshole. And one day you said, Bob, I can't deal with you anymore. I don't want to see you anymore. And Bob said, well, that's because you're stupid, or something like that. And he said, ugh, Bob, I can't stand Bob. I never want to see another Bob again. And then later in life, you see this fantastically gorgeous guy. And believe me, it sounds a little weird for me as a man to call somebody else gorgeous and they're a man, but handsome, let's call it handsome. Handsome guy, nicest guy in the world, wouldn't hurt a fly unless it flew up his nose. Beautiful, wonderful, caring, wonderful guy. What's your name? Bob. Oh no, you can't be a Bob. I can't see you because you're a Bob. And every time Sorry, we could have had a life together, but you're named Bob. Can't do it. I just can't do it. I can't get past it no matter what. Well, I'll change my name to Bill. No, you're Bob. There's no way around it. It's fate. It's what it is, man. It's where it's at. It's what it is. I can't deal with you. So names are really very stupidly important. I need names because I have absolutely no interest in them whatsoever. When I meet people and they tell me their name, 2 minutes later, or even 1 minute later, I have no idea what their name is. And is it because I've forgotten what happened a minute ago? No. It's because I'm just not interested in what your name is. I have absolutely no interest. There was no reason to retain that information. Well, Ron, there was a reason, because you're talking to the person. That's a great reason to retain that information. It's simply their name. I know, but I can't do it. What is it? Yet I can remember phone numbers like crazy. I can remember I can remember numbers from child. I remember my locker number, man, when I was like 2 years old. I had a locker when I was two. Yeah, that's what I did. I had a locker when I was two. But I remember numbers, phone numbers, everything. Names, I don't give a shit. I just don't know. I have no idea. I know it begins with an A, but that's about where it ends. The letters after that could be any combination of anything. Could take me a while. What's the point? So I will constantly refer to you as hey you, hey you, hey you, hey you. It's amazing I can remember the you part. I'll tell you what I do remember. A couple of shows ago, I talked about a product that was introduced on Shark Tank called Squatty Potty. And they actually invested in it. I think that Lori Grenade, whatever her name is, she was one of the investors. And it's called the Squatty Potty. I talked about it on the show before. It's a plastic horseshoe-looking thing, and it fits around the base of your toilet. And when you have to take a dump, and I'm talking about the solid waste dump, you slide out this little horseshoe plastic thing, and it raises your feet, I'd say, a good foot off the ground. And it puts you into a natural squatting position. So when you're taking a shit, I'm sorry to talk like this, kids, but when you're taking a shit, it straightens out your rectal thermometer there, your rectal chasm of life. And the stuff just comes out a lot easier. Because when you're sitting in just an upright position, apparently your rectum sphincter is not lined up with the stars astrologically. It's called the Squatty Potty. I have a friend who uses an empty beer case, the box from a beer case, to elevate her legs and her feet. And then she's, that's your naturally made Squatty Potty, as opposed to spending like $30 for a piece of plastic. I think the American people, once they know that it's easier to take a shit when you're squatting, could probably come up with something in their home that'll elevate their feet to that level, and thus not pay $30 to a manufactured piece of plastic. Incredible marketing, but really stupid when it comes down to it. All you need to do is tell me that I need to squat more for the opening to be more conducive, and I'll come up with my own methods of solving that problem. Thank you very much. I do have a brain, and I can probably come up with something that is similar to that product rather than buy it in a box that says Squatty Potty on it. Nonetheless, it's doing very well. On YouTube, there's an interesting commercial, and I don't know if it's a commercial for Squatty Potty or about Squatty Potty or a satire of Squatty Potty. It is hilarious. And go to YouTube and you know, search Squatty Potty, and you'll see this guy dressed up like a king or an English something, and it's a riot. And I'm actually going to play it for you. It runs about 2 minutes, and it's this is just fun stuff.
This is where your ice cream comes from. Oh. The creamy poop of a mystic unicorn. Totally clean, totally cool, and soft serve straight from a sphincter. They're good at pooping. But you know who sucks at pooping? You do. That's because when you sit on a porcelain throne, this muscle puts a kink in the hose and stops the Ben and Jerry's from sliding out smoothly. Is that a problem? I don't know, are hemorrhoids a problem? Because sitting at this angle can cause hemorrhoids, bloating, constipation, and a buttload of other crap. And seriously, unicorn hemorrhoids? The glitter gets everywhere. But what happens when you go from a sit to a squat? Voila! This muscle relaxes and that kink goes away faster than Pegasus laying sweet sherbet dookie. Now your colon's open and ready for battle. That's because our bodies were made to poop in a squat, and now there's a product that lets you squat in your own home. Introducing the Squatty Potty. No, Squatty Potty is not a joke. And yes, it will give you the best poop of your life, guaranteed. I don't just mean you bloated lords and hemorrhoidal ladies. I mean everyone. Kink? Unkink. Kink? Unkink. It's simple science, really. Can't get the last scoop out of the carton? With the Squatty Potty, you get complete elimination. Spend too much time on the chamber pot. The squatty potty makes you go twice as fast or your money back. I scream, you scream, and plop, plop, baby. Maybe you're sore from squeezing out solid globs of rocky road. The squatty potty gives you a smooth stream of froyo that glides like a virgin swan. Plus, when you're done, it tucks neatly out of sight, thanks to its innovative, patented design. Truly a footstool fit for a constipated king. So if you're a human being who poops from your butt, click here to order your squatty potty today at squattypotty.com. You'll wish you'd tried it years ago. And if you don't trust the prince, how about your doctor? Shark Tank, HuffPost, NPR, Men's Health, Howard Stern? He poops from his butt. They're all crazy about the squatty potty. Not to mention the 2,000 Amazon users who gave the squatty potty 5 stars, including the author of this moving haiku.
Oh, squatty potty, you fill me with endless joy. Yet leave me empty.
So order your squatty potty today. I'm not saying it will make your poop as soft as this cookies and cream, but I'm not saying it won't. Squatty potty, the stool for better stool. Pooping will never be the same. And neither will ice cream.
Huh. That one for you, very good. How does it taste? Is that delicious?
Hey, it's the Ron Van Dam Show.
I was told a million times of all the troubles in my way. Mind you grow a little wiser, a little better every day. But if I crossed a million rivers and I rode a million miles, then I'd still be where I started, bread and butter for a smile. And I sold a million mirrors in a shopping alleyway, but I never saw my face in any window any day. Now they say your books are telling you be a superstar, but I tell you just be satisfied and stay right where you are.
Yeah, we do this thing. I was going to say this damn thing. We do this thing every single weekday, unless it's a holiday or unless I really oversleep or don't feel too well or feel really nauseous. Otherwise, I do it. So hop on the wagon or something. Follow me. Here I am. Marco. Rubio. Marco. Rubio. Follow me. You can follow me on Twitter. I don't know what the hell the thing is, but something. I don't know. It's the Ron Van Dam Show is the Twitter thing. At Ron Van Dam Radio, I believe it is. I don't know. You find it yourself. I twat every day. I seek the twat daily. Or when I don't oversleep. Or if it's a holiday. You can reach me through the email system of America Incorporated LLC by going to ronvandamshow@gmail.com. What? You said that too fast. ronvandamshow@gmail.com. If you'd like to be a guest on the program, you've done something interesting, you think you're going to do something interesting, you know somebody who did something interesting, you're thinking about something interesting even though you never do it, have never seen it before. Maybe you've written a book, maybe you tied your shoes, whatever the case may be, you can contact me. If you have a suggestion for some type of subject or material you wish me to discuss, lampoon, satirize, give my little grumpy take on it, you can suggest that as well. It all happens at ronvandamshow@gmail.com. Chances are I will not respond to you. Or you can go to my Facebook page and like it. Don't love it. That's the page you go if you like something. If you love something, I don't know where you go. I think you just have sex with it. I think you fondle it and have sex with it if you love it. If you like it, you go to Facebook. And that would be New England Broadcasting, The Ron Van Dam Show. New England Broadcasting, The Ron Van Dam Show. Now they've taken 45 minutes to tell you where to go. Where I think you knew originally without me saying. That's what you do. And, of course, you can find this program all over the freaking place on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Podbean, I'm also on and on you'll find me on all those things. Coming up a little bit later in the program, we have a very interesting guest. I guess you'll be the judge of that, right? You know, like, who am I to tell you what's interesting and what isn't? Because, you know, like, I'm sure you know the difference. We're going to speak to a doctor from the Cleveland Clinic. I don't know what that is. Actually, it's quite a prestigious medical facility. We're going to be talking about bromance. Now, I don't know exactly what that means as far as a clinic is concerned, but we'll find out very, very shortly. So short, you can't believe it. I'm talking about short. I'm talking about not even clearing the height of the seat of a chair. That's how short I'm talking about. That's coming up very, 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 very soon.
Oh, dear. Okay.
Pope takes a poop and the president too, and the fancy pants banker in his three-piece suit, the big fat general and all of his troops. The truth of the matter is everybody poops. The famous brain surgeon has to leave his lump, and the high-priced model has to stop for a dump. But can the size of Canada can't spray away the truth? Cause even if they don't admit it, everybody poops.
Everybody poops. Everybody poops. Sure things number more than two. Death and taxes and everybody poops.
Some days it's easy, other days it's hard. But if your system's working, thank your lucky stars. Nobody talks about it, not a word is said. If you're not pooping, then it means you're probably dead. The destitute and homeless have to do it, it's true. But even all the wealthy people gotta make do. And if you live long enough, it's happening to you. Sooner or later, everybody poops.
Everybody poops. Everybody poops. Death and taxes and everybody poops. Death and taxes and everybody poops.
You are listening to the Ron Van Dam Show. Don't worry, no one has to know. This is just between you and me and Ron. We cool?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to speak to the Cleveland Clinic about bromances. Dr. Ryan Berglund joins us now. He's a urologist at Cleveland Clinic and a graduate of Harvard University and every place. He's all over the place. And we're talking about National Bromance Day. Now, I assume that this isn't about bromances.
It's not about true romantic relationships between men. It's actually about buddies, bros, talking to each other about their health.
Yeah. Women tend to talk about their health. They're usually a little bit looser about talking about personal situations. Men, not so much, I think.
You know, we did a survey of 500 men talking to them about how they view their health. Just over half of men admitted to not talking to anyone about their health on a regular basis.
And when we're talking about anyone, we're talking about not only their friends and their bros, but also their doctors, perhaps.
That's correct. You, about 3 out of 5 men only see a doctor if they have some significant symptom. So most guys don't go to see a doctor once a year as recommended.
Yeah. Is this kind of an age situation? Because I remember when I was in my 20s and 30s, I didn't go for annual checkups. I thought I was impervious and nothing was going to happen to me and I was feeling fine. And then all of a sudden I demanded to have annual checkups. Is it age related?
You know, it's funny that you mention that because most men don't start seeing the doctor on a regular basis until they've had a significant event.
There you go.
So the answer is yes. You know, young men don't have these major episodes that we see later in life.
Yeah.
The problem, of course, is that a number of these preventable conditions can be detected and treated if diagnosed before they become symptomatic.
Yeah.
A classic example would be high blood pressure.
True. And I assume, I don't know, but I assume more people have high blood pressure than they even realize because you don't always know it.
Exactly. You don't feel high blood pressure, but you do feel the heart attack or the stroke or the things that happen decades later if you don't start treating them early on.
I guess that's kind of the sad thing is that it is treatable and there are very effective medications. There are numerous different things to try, yet at the same time, that is avoided, and then you get into complications, and then it gets a little too aggressive at that point.
So all of the problems that we're talking about, heart disease, stroke, vision problems, et cetera, are very preventable with medication if started in a timely fashion.
Absolutely. So is there something good about talking to your bros, your friends about it? Does that bring something out? What are the benefits of doing that?
Well, you know, the fact is we love talking to our bros when we have some kind of heroic injury. You know, in our survey we found that over a third of guys have talked to friends about having that broken leg when they were playing a football game, et cetera. So we do like to talk about certain things, but more personal things, for instance, a gastrointestinal problem, a urinary problem, very private, less than 10% of us like to talk about them. But oftentimes that's where the conversation starts, and then eventually it leads to timely medical care.
I had a friend come over to my house 10 years ago, and that was the last time actually anybody's come to my house. And he was he had to go to the bathroom quite frequently within his like 3-hour visit, and we brought it up. I said, "Why? What's the problem?" And he talked about his medical problem with that he was had seen the doctor about that, and it actually sparked something in me because I pee rather frequently too, not as much as he did at that time, but. It actually started something in my brain, started to be a little bit inquisitive about this.
You know, and the thing is, you're mentioning a very common problem, and a common problem that men don't like to talk about, but it's also something that can be easily treated. We can fix the problem in about 80% of patients with just medications alone, and there's some downstream problems that you can develop if you don't treat that in a reasonably timely fashion.
Yeah. And with this... Would this come up if one did have an annual checkup? Is this something typical where you do go through all the conversations with your doctor?
Absolutely. One of the most important points to make here is that men should really establish a relationship with a primary care physician. They need to have a quarterback who's monitoring their care.
Mm-hmm.
I, as a urologist, am not the person you want to see about your high blood pressure.
Right.
And very frequently, I'm the first doctor that somebody sees because they come in for that urinary symptom.
Yeah.
So they need to have a quarterback, somebody that they're discussing these problems with on an annual basis. And a lot of the screening things that we need to do, weight, high blood pressure, cardiovascular screenings, begin in your 20s.
Wow. Okay, but it's very rare that anybody does that, I guess, unless they have symptoms. I know that at the age of 50, you're supposed to begin looking at these issues with colonoscopies, prostate screenings, etc., because this is typical for a man to get involved in that.
As much as none of us like to have this done, everybody needs to get a colonoscopy at age 50.
Yeah.
It's been proven that if you get a colonoscopy according to the guidelines, it reduces the risk of dying of colon cancer by 50%.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Wow. And women typically do see their physicians. They get mammograms in their 20s and certainly in their 30s, but men don't have anything like that that starts them earlier, do they?
You know, I mean, that's a very good point. Men don't like seeing the doctor. Women are much better about following their health care. About 1 in 5 men acknowledge that the only reason they went to see the doctor was to stop their wife from nagging them. You know, there are you need to get your blood pressure checked. Mm-hmm. Starting at age 50, you need to get your colonoscopy. Mm-hmm. Starting in your 50s, typically 55 to 70, we recommend that you get an annual PSA and a digital exam of the prostate.
Yeah.
Nobody looks forward to this kind of things, but it can prevent some pretty significant problems down the road.
Yeah. So we do things like Bromance Day, quote-unquote, in order to make people aware. Is that right?
Yeah, and just to let people know that it's okay to talk about your health. Mm-hmm. You know, a big breakthrough happened in, I believe it was in the 90s, when Bob Dole started publicly talking about not just having prostate cancer, but developing erectile dysfunction as a result of having his prostate cancer treated. Mm-hmm. And that was a big step. But we still see that over half of men are not comfortable talking about their health, and we wanted to get the message out there that it's okay to talk about these things, because ultimately there are things we can do about problems before they're untreatable.
Yeah. Okay, men are crazy. Men are crazy people. You don't have to answer
that. Great. Absolutely correct.
you really don't have to. We can get very, very involved in talking about sports statistics and things like that. Things that have nothing to do with us whatsoever, but yet things that have anything to do with us.
Our survey showed that a third of men talk about sports and world events on a regular basis. Only about 7% talk about health.
Yeah. I mean, I'm always interested in celebrities that publicly stand behind a certain health issue, and then they make it public, because that does something. It does start conversation, and you do say to yourself, ooh, this guy's only 30 years old, and he's going through this, and he's telling us about it. And then you kind of, it sparks a little something.
I'll tell you, one of the most powerful tools I have in my practice is when particularly a patient has a cancer diagnosis, let's say prostate cancer.
Yep.
One of the most powerful tools I have is putting them in touch with another patient who's been through that event. It really is meaningful, and it really works, and it tells these people that they're not alone, and that there is a light at the end of the proverbial tunnel.
Yeah, and it's interesting, because I think men really do care about their health. Because they have the role of protectors and providers, which is absolutely stupid, but that's what socially they're brought up with. So they really do want to protect their health and their position and situation, but they kind of don't. But they do have the sensitivity to realize how important that is.
Well, you know, one of the things that came out in our survey was that the number one issue most men are concerned about is the well-being of their family.
Yeah.
But if you really think about it, their health is a critical element of the well-being of the family.
Yeah. Absolutely true. We talk a lot about diabetes, for example, here, blood sugar levels on this program, and there's, you know, it's every month it's Diabetes Day or something, and it really does make a difference, because people say to themselves, oh my goodness, I got to change my diet, and then they do. So it does make an impact. So I'm glad you're bringing this up. It really, you kind of need a little kick in the butt to get you going sometimes.
And just recognizing that you're not alone, other people have been through this, and there are things that we can do about virtually all of these issues.
Yeah, all right. Where can we go for more information about this?
www.clevelandclinic.org/mention it.
Okay.
Mention it, one word.
Good. Cool. Hey, thanks for bringing this to light for us today.
Thanks, Ron.
Take care, doctor. Bye-bye. You know what's interesting is, let's cut to, by the way, that is very, very important information. Seriously, why suffer with things that can be really taken care of if you just have checkups? You know, there's answers to things. It's when you wait too late medically that you get complications, and then things are the treatments are more aggressive and sometimes not even effective. So keep on top of things, you know, Amit, you know what I say? You know what's interesting to me, though, and please don't take this the wrong way, even though I know you will, because I probably mean it the wrong way. We come up with these incredibly sophisticated terms for things that are really kind of something else, but it sounds demeaning to call them what they really are. For example, this doctor is a urologist. He is actually, in layman's terms, seriously, and there's nothing wrong with it, he's a pee doctor. He's P. Diddy. He is a doctor of pee. Now, I know pee is not exactly a medical term. It's urine. However, we don't call it that. We don't say, oh my goodness, I've had too much water. Excuse me while I go to the bathroom and urinate. That's what you're really saying, but that's not what you say. You say, oh, excuse me, I got to pee. That's what most people say. And I don't know where the term came from. I could Google it, but I really, again, I'm not going to be succumbing to this Google thing where I can't bat an eyelash without Googling as to why I'm calling it an eyelash and why the term batting means moving them up and down. I guess like a bat's wings. I can't Google everything. Do you understand? I can't Google everything. I don't want to. So anyway, this doctor goes through life actually making life more livable for most people by being a urologist, by recognizing, curing, and treating and diagnosing diseases and abnormalities of the uranic system. No such word. He's a doctor of pee, but it doesn't sound classy, does it? Welcome to the 50th reunion of Shaker High. Shaker High. Remember 50 years ago we used to go to classes? What are you doing now, Bill? I'm a plumber. What are you doing now, Sid? I'm a doctor of pee. I analyze pee. Pee is my thing. It's my product. I have a degree in pee. I have a pee degree. And that's what I do. And I'm very proud of it as well. I am a pee doctor. I know it's not really fashionable, but I do analyze pee. As a matter of fact, when you pee, let me look at it. When you go to the doctor, the regular doctor, not the doctor of pee, we demean you by saying, okay, take your clothes off and pee in a cup. Excuse me? Who else would ask me to do this? Nobody else would ask me to do this. I'd like to rent a car for the week. All right, that'll be $120 a week. Do you want the insurance? No, thank you. No, thank you. May I see your license, please? Yeah, sure, here you go. All right, will you pee in this cup? Here's a cup. Please pee in it. Why? Because we analyze pee. We have to make sure that there's no drugs in your system before you drive the rental car. So please pee in it. It's pee in this. Here, pee, please. You'll pass the test if you pee. You want to immigrate into the United States before we build a wall? First, I want you to pee in a cup. I want to dignify you by having you take your clothes off and pee in a cup. Will you pee in a cup for me, please? Will you do me a favor? Will you pee in my cup? This is a special cup that I bought in Germany. It's a Stein. It's a mug, but we call it a Stein because it's Jewish. And this is a very special cup that we have from Europe. Will you do me a favor and will you pee in it for me, please? Oh, please. Oh, please pee in it, please. Oh, will you do it, please? How are you feeling? Oh, I'm not sure. Well, will you pee in this cup and we'll tell you how you're feeling. He's a doctor of pee. There's nothing wrong with that. You can learn a lot of a person by his pee or her pee. Is it a dark pee color? Is it a dark yellow, almost orange like Trump's skin? That means you're dehydrated. We can tell a lot from pee. We can tell if you're going to have a good day, if you're going to come into money, if you're going to be lucky in love. We can tell all of that from your pee. So please, pee in this cup for me, will you? So I can get to know you better. Pee's an amazing thing. Let's not kid ourselves. You can't not pee. Some people can't. They need help. It's a terrible thing. Everything you take into your body has to come out somehow. Most of it's in the form of pee. You need a doctor for that. A doctor of pee. We have doctors of skin. We don't call them skin doctors, do we? Not really. They're dermatologists. Oh, that's much better. Sure. It's not your skin, it's your derm. How's your derm doing? I got a little acne on my derm. You have lovely derm, by the way. Your derm is so soft. I just think we should call it what it is. Don't insult people. I don't think there's anything wrong with being a doctor of pee. I would find that to be quite something. If I ran into a guy or a woman on the street and said, "What do you do for a living?" "I'm a doctor of pee." Oh, that is very special. Congratulations. That is excellent. I've never met a doctor of pee before. Oh, yeah, we're very good. Will you pee in a cup for me?
Aww.
Look at the little doggy peed on the carpet.
Aww.
All right, fine. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm just about out of time, and that's good news for everybody. Really, it really, really is. You have no idea how good that news is. I'll be back again tomorrow with another program, and I don't think that's as much of a promise as it is a threat. Now, please, the only way this show can stay on the air is if I don't have laryngitis and if we have enough listeners. We're doing really well right now, but I want to keep it that way. So please tell your friends, as much as you may be embarrassed by this, tell them to listen to the Ron Van Dam Show. I want everybody in the country to listen to it for no reason other than the fact that I get paid accordingly. That's the only reason. It is. So please tell your friends, help out this poor guy named Ron Van Dam who needs your support and your adulation.
Aww.
I do. I'm down to eating cat food, to be honest with you. And it's quite, they're tasty morsels. I got to hand it to the cat food people. They're very tasty morsels. They're diced up in tiny little cubes, and it makes it very easy to digest for me, especially. And my pee doctor says that I shouldn't be eating cat food, but I say, apparently you haven't tasted it. It's savory, and they're tender, wonderful little morsels. They come in their own little gravy. It's really not bad. And the little cans, you know, they are portioned just right, so you don't gain a lot of weight when you're done with the can. You feel full. You don't want another can. You know, you say, oh, that was pretty good. I'm good. I've had enough. No more cat food from. I've had enough. I would like some water with it, though. Do you have a bowl nearby? That's nice. That's very good. Very nice. Tasty. Very tasty. I'll have the chicken tomorrow. I just had the liver. Liver was very tasty as well. All right. I'm proving to you why you've had enough of this. I'll be back again tomorrow. And I'll be handing out free samples of cat food. Oh, God. How have I stooped to this level? How do I get all the way down here? I guess I want to lower the bar so when the show's really good, it wasn't really that fantastic, but was better than the other one. You know what I'm saying? It's like when you're in bed all day and you're not feeling well and you're in bed, you know, you just can't move out of bed. And then the next day you get up and you move around for 5 minutes and then you say, that was a good day. Yeah, in comparison to the day before, it was a good day, but still shitty. Today's program is informative, humorous at times, but really kind of bizarre. I'm warning you, this is for mature audiences only, which means I can't even listen to this.
The following program is brought to you in living color.